Yeah, three, I guess it's not the first, it's not the second, but I mean
it is the third.
It is, but the, it is third. The third. So
that's what I would say, Ron. You're honest, that's the old thing. You're so right.
Welcome back to Triple Take. It's been a little while. Apologize for that. We got a little distracted with a few things. I got to actually see my wonderful co-host, a.k.a. the best speech giver I've ever heard,
yikes,
Matt Morrow, at a wedding a couple
weekend before last,
yeah,
yes.
Weekend before last. It was a phenomenal time.
Wonderful.
One of our frequent guests, Kevin Hendrickson, got married, so we got to get together and see each other.
Shout out Janine, shout out Kevin, congratulations, hope you're enjoying your honeymoon over there right now, and doing a Southeastern Asian tour, hit up a few countries, so enjoy that. You definitely can't hear this over there because I haven't been able to talk to them, they don't have internet right now. Shout out all the same.
Yeah, I haven't heard from them in a little while, maybe something bad happened.
Yeah, a little concerned. We heard from them for a while, now just haven't.
Yeah, I felt like every day it was just Snapchat, like just getting snaps from both of them. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of dead air. So we'll see. We'll see.
But how you been since then, man? What?
Well, I was going to say, you're saying how I've been since then. The other big pause we had with you, big guy. I know you have some new news going on in your life. We had to take some weekends off. You had a big move there, I hear.
Yeah, I did. My wife and I, we moved into a house we're now renting. Super excited about it. It's not a two bedroom apartment anymore. It's now a 3 to 4 bedroom house with a backyard. And
even for the audience that are concerned, I'm pretty positive he also moved his baby daughter with them. He said to his wife, "I think your daughter joined you too." Is that correct?
Yes. No, we left her at the apartment.
Okay, that's just wanted to clear that.
It was a welcome. It was a welcome present for the new tenants.
Here you go, baby comped included.
It was the only way for us to get our security deposit back.
I mean, that's a tale as old as time. If I've seen it once, seen it 1,000 times.
But no, for real, yeah, she did come with us, obviously. So did our two dogs. They're loving the backyard. So the whole thing's been great. I no longer have to, if I'm at home, I don't have to record these in my daughter's bedroom. So that's also great.
Out of the kids' bedrooms, always a big moment in your life when the dad can finally, you know, move out of their children's bedroom.
Exactly.
For their
podcast. You know what I mean?
Milestone moment.
I finally got the yes. You hit the nail on the head. But right now I'm actually in on the road in the middle of South Massachusetts, aka hellhole on earth. Mm-hmm. With all these Bostonites who I loathe.
Bostonians, I believe.
Bostonians? Who cares?
I think so.
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Like that.
I'm hoping to maybe run into Tom Brady. Maybe I could knock some kneecaps while I'm here.
I think he's in Egypt on that camel still, man. I think he's cameling around still.
Is he really?
Well, that's where he was like last week, man.
I don't pay attention to his life.
It's the TB12 system. That's how you prevent concussions. The best way to prevent concussions is to ride a camel for a week straight every offseason. That's something you're going to find out if you read that TB12 book.
You go through the Sahara Desert?
Anywhere. Doesn't matter where. Just on a camel, week straight, anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. Right in the middle of like New York City.
Literally doesn't matter. It's got to be on a camel.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. Speaking of their little Tom Brady system coming in, he'll probably be back stateside for the – oh, maybe he won't. He probably doesn't care. He hated the draft. He's the late draft pick, right? He's the lunatic that after the sixth round he wasn't drafted, took a baseball bat and took a lap around his block in the neighborhood. What a lunatic.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about the draft.
What a lunatic. Anyway.
It means nothing to him.
Draft coming up.
Yep. It's Thursday. It's 7 o'clock Thursday. Eastern, I think.
We're recording. This is Tuesday night. We're recording. It'll be up. It'll be up probably Wednesday. So it'll still be ahead of time for y'all to hear just in time for the draft. Thought we'd take a little moment here, Ryan. I know you're You're a big Jets guy, and you guys got to pick up there towards the top. How you feeling about the top part of the draft here? What do you think you guys might fall to? Who do you think might go ahead? What do you got up there?
Well, it's tough because, you know, you look at all of these expert mock drafts, and I don't think I've found one that matches another. They're all different, especially in the top three picks. Mm-hmm. Someone's saying that the first pick's going to be Josh Allen, then it's Sam Darnold, then it's Saquon Barkley, then it's Baker Mayfield. He's not really in the top pick for at least that I've seen much of. Maybe Josh Rosen in the conversation. It's difficult to say what those first three are going to shake out to be. I'm personally hoping that Baker Mayfield slides to the number three slot. You could probably make the argument that Rosen's the better quarterback prospect. That's a lot of what people are making the argument for. I like the confidence that Mayfield exudes and the work ethic I think he'll show. I think he's a type of quarterback that I like to build around. And I know he, from what I've seen, I guess, on the social media side of things and comments he's made, it sounds as if he'd like to play with us. So, you know, that's what I want to see type thing. Hopefully that's kind of what shakes down. Either way, as long as we're sitting in that third pick, right? So we're getting one of the top three quarterbacks at the end of the day. So I'll be happy in that sense, but, it's interesting. That is the word I can use for it. Very interesting. I really just don't know how it's going to shake out Thursday night.
Yeah, it's definitely very wide open. I would agree with you. I think, personally, the best quarterback in the draft, if I had to pick one, I would pick Baker Mayfield, because Sam Darnold I don't believe in for a second. I think he's very terrible. Josh Allen I don't think's very good. He, you know, it's not a great argument to say, you know, played at a small school because, you know, we've seen success of small school quarterbacks, even recently with the Eagles over there. So we got some options where that works, but I just don't think he even did very well where he was. Like at Wyoming, he didn't acquit himself very well against when they played good competition, or even, you know, within their conference. So I don't believe him there either. I'd go with, give it to a competitor kind of argument, right? Give it to, definitely would give it to Baker Mayfield, and think he'd be the best quarterback you guys could take. But personally, I do think that the best player in the draft is Saquon Barkley, and if he falls to you, I think you gotta. I think he might as well go number one overall. I think Ezekiel kind of showed you that there's still some power that can be had by having, you know, an elite top end running back can still be pretty game changing and, you know, franchise changing for you. Le'Veon Bell, another one. You know, just the elite running backs are still out there, and I think he's one of them. And I think he can help any team just immediately in a lot of different phases of the game.
Well, yeah, and if you're – I agree with you completely on the fact of him being the top player in the draft. I'm interested to see where he lands. I feel like if he gets to two, I think I've seen the Giants said that they definitely would take him at two. If I'm the Browns, though, right, I'm sitting at 1-4. If I'm not trading that fourth pick, which I don't think I would be unless I'm getting a king's ransom for it, why not just take him one, and you're then guaranteed one of the top three quarterbacks at your fourth pick? Like, that's really – they already traded for Tyrod Taylor in the offseason, and they've already stated that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the entirety of the season. So why not just say, you know what, let's get him a stud running back, because Crowell left and is now signed with the Jets. So we've already got – they've got a hell of a lot of receivers now. Let's put a big back in the backfield for him. And then we'll take one of the three quarterbacks that don't get picked at four.
You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of good things what you just said, right? If it all just kind of depends on what they believe in. You got to, like, you know, you got to draft true to what you believe as a front office guy. None of them are hearing this at all, but you know what I mean. Like, with any drafting, I'll relate to mine though. And the true thing that no one ever wants to hear about your fantasy teams, but you don't have to go with other people are telling you the real value is. Just draft like who you think's the best, and if they don't think that and there's much separation between the top three or four quarterbacks, definitely go Barkley, because I think that's a home run hit. If they definitely go, like, I don't like any of the quarterbacks, but, like, this one guy I believe is, like, definitely better than the rest of them, then you got to go that go overall, right? So, I mean, we'll see. The importance of a QB still does reign supreme, but I think Barkley is going to be, like, a pretty much as close as you can get to a can't-miss players we've had in a while. That guy's pretty dope guy, pretty cool bro.
pretty dope. Yeah, he's
pretty good. He's pretty good.
He's a he's a machine. He's a huge dude too. So I'm excited to see what happens on Thursday. The whole weekend, honestly. I mean, the Jets, it's a pretty interesting time. I mean, they gave up some picks to get to the number three, which I was very happy with. You know, three, I guess it's not the first, it's not the second, but, I mean.
It is the third.
It is, but the, it is third. The third. So,
that's what I would say, Ron. You're honest, that's the old saying. You're so right.
It's not the first and it's not the second. What else could it possibly be? It's the third.
Just heard that
but you have a trio of top quarterbacks, I'm happy with that pick. It makes me – I was very nervous when they were sitting at – what was it, like eight, I think? I can't remember even what it was previously. I was just kind of like, all right, is Lamar Jackson going to be the quarterback that comes and falls to us?
I don't hate Lamar
Jackson. I'm not
Jackson.
Hating on
Jackson
him.
Over Darnold probably, and probably over Josh Allen.
I'm with you on the fact that I don't believe in Sam Darnold. I was a believer in him previous to last year, and then this past season happened, and I watched him play, and I really was never impressed, especially in the latter half of the season. Lamar Jackson, though, does interest me. Kind of got like that Deshaun Watson vibe, maybe. And we saw how he got to do in Texas for Houston this year prior to the injury. So Lamar could be a good fit somewhere. I've got my sights set on Baker Mayfield, and I'm hoping that happens.
I think it'd be a good fit.
I want to see him walk into Foxborough in the coming years and plant a flag right in the middle of that stadium after just shutting them down.
The Oklahoma flag even too. Just like,
yeah, both of them.
Just
both
Boomer Sooner. Just going, just horns down, boom soon. That's what I want. Just never change.
You made me very happy with that.
I mean, can't go wrong. I think, the show's, a lot of people really into the football, but right now, the big talk of the town, just getting started off here, baseball season underway. Look out, baseball fans. We're about a month in. Some pretty good action so far. Some pretty good surprises I said we're hoping to get into. We're going to bring back now previous guests who've had talk before with us on baseball. We're bringing in Mr. Hector Reyes here to speak with you.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on again today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. Like Matt said, conversations baseball. It's one of my you guys know, and then hopefully, honestly, the people that are listening to this probably know me well enough to know that it's my favorite sport.
Go ahead, real quick, Rye. Plug your Twitter handle, and I know you do some writing for baseball.
Well, my Twitter handle is at OrtizMe93. OrtizME93. I do some work with a couple sites, Prospects 1500, and then a site called Baseball Farm. It would be, essentially, both of them are geared towards writing for baseball prospects. One for the Yankees farm system, and the other for a more at large overview of what prospects there are in the world and where they are going to fit into the MLB at some point in time. That's kind of what I'm doing there. But Hector, kind of want to come at you with a question at the beginning here. You're living back down in the dirty A. You have a difficult fandom with all of your other sports. Coming into the season, the Braves were a team that many felt were just, they're not there yet, right? They've got a lot of promise in their minor league system, with the top prospect in all of baseball. They've got just a litany of pitching prospects. So the talent's there, but it's not like at that point where you expect them to be, competitive. However, now we come into the season, they're 2.5 games out of first place in the NL East. Now, granted, we are only about a month into the season, but still, they're performing well.
A strong month.
They are, I believe, fifth right now in the team war breakdown. So that's the praise right now for the Braves is pretty high, I guess, in comparison to what you expected. So what are your thoughts on the season so far and how it's gotten off to such a hot start? And if you think it's sustainable to the point where they can be in a conversation for, let's say, a wild card or even maybe rivaling the Nats or Mets for an NL East title?
Yeah, I mean, I think you stated it perfectly with how much of a surprise it has been, considering what we thought the Braves were going to do at the beginning or going into the season. You mentioned them being a fifth in WAR. They're also tied for fifth in run differential so far, which, again, it's early in the season, but I think is a pretty big indicator of how the team's actually performing so far in games. But, you know, I'm ecstatic. It's been so many years of struggle going through the rebuild, the whole drama with our GM getting caught paying guys under the table. I think the total number of prospects that they lost in that was 13 guys. Yes. Granted, most of them were, you know, 17 to 19 years old. They were, you know, high risk guys that probably weren't going to make it, but still, you don't want to see your team go through that. So, you know, knowing all that stuff that happened in this offseason with the rebuild, I don't think anyone expected the Braves to get off to such a good start. There's been a lot of positive things that I think are going to be consistent through the year. Ozzie Albies is living up to the hype so far. You know, he's looking like he's one of the 10 best second basemen in all of baseball and could keep climbing up that ladder. Freddie Freeman is Freddie Freeman. You know what? MVP candidate right there, probably every year going forward. Dansby Swanson, he had an awful season last year, and you know he was, I don't know if he was the number one prospect in baseball while he was a minor leaguer, but he was definitely in the top five. And he got sent to AAA last year at one point, came back up, showed a few adjustments, but this year has been a completely different story for him, and he's playing well defensively. He's hitting everything you want to see out of a guy that struggled the previous season and put in work in the offseason to get better. Some of the free agent acquisitions that they made, they didn't sign anyone big. I think the biggest guy that we brought in was probably Preston Tucker, which, you know, he flamed out in the Astros system. Granted, they have a packed outfield, so not that surprising. He's been hitting great. His spot is probably going to be the one that goes to Acuna once he gets called up, because I can't see the Braves benching Marquegas. I think it's more likely that he gets traded at some point. But, you know, he's been very good. Kurt Suzuki behind the plate has done a great job so far. So offensively, no complaints whatsoever. The pitching's where I have a few more concerns with the team. Julio Teheran, you know, his numbers don't look that bad right when you first look at them, but I believe his FIP is over 5. He's walking too many guys. He's not striking anyone out. For a supposed ace of the team, he's not really putting up the peripherals you want to see for a guy. But Mike Foltynewicz and Sean Newcomb are number 2 and number 3 pitchers. They've been doing really well. They're both young. Folty was – some people were concerned that he was going to end up in the bullpen, but so far he's doing a good job of making a case to be a middle-of-the-rotation starter. And Newcomb is – like. He has ace potential, so it's nice to see him cut down the walks a bit and keep improving. As far as long-term for the Braves, I don't think – I'd be lying to myself if I said I think they can keep it up the entire season. I think when you have such a young team, it's very easy to fall into slumps multiple times through the year. But I do think they're going to be a nuisance for the Mets and for the Nationals over the course of the season. And if Acuna comes up and a few of the other young guys come up and hit the ground running, they could contend for one of the wild card spots. But I do think that's probably a year away from now.
Yeah, and the fact that it's even a year away is interesting enough to me, because I, you know, when I, prior to even coming into the season, I thought they're probably maybe 2-3 years out. Maybe I was a little bit more pessimistic than some, but I didn't quite see it, but it's starting to show. Especially, I was assuming, and you made the comment to it earlier, that Dansby Swanson was going to kind of continue down this path of maybe just a prospect bust. Right, it happens. Maybe he was going to go down it, but looking at his first month, I mean, the guy's looking like he was one of those top prospects at that point in time, and he's looking like he can maybe keep that up. You mentioned Preston Tucker. I'm curious. I mean, he's striking out at what, like almost 26% clip and only walking less than 5%. Well, they're at a point now where what, Acuna's eligible for a whole other year, right? Like, they passed that point. So
yeah, I think they passed that in mid-April.
I think it's just a ticking clock at this point. I mean, they got to bring him up sometime.
Yeah, I think – I forget who it was. Snicker, the head coach, was interviewed a couple days ago, and he was saying that they're looking forward to adding back – because Tyler Flowers has been on the DL, and, you know, offensively he's great, but he's also one of the best framers in all of baseball. Yeah. So he was talking about adding him, Acuna, and Jose Bautista back into the lineup, who – Bautista – was signed to a minor league deal about a week ago. He's currently with the AAA team getting some work in. It looks like he's probably going to be the everyday third baseman if he comes up and hits. But what you said about Tucker, I think you're 100% right. It's good production, and I think he'll be a useful player to keep on the team. But someone that strikes out that much, doesn't walk a ton, and doesn't have that great of power, you know, it's – when you have someone like Acuna waiting in the wings, then it makes sense to, you know, pull the plug on that. You know, you can keep him as a pinch hitter. He hits righties especially well, but I think, like I said, I think his spot is probably the one that's going to go to Acuna, probably within the next – I'd be surprised if it takes longer than about 10 more days.
Yeah, I'm with you on that point. I also – you brought up Bautista. I like that signing. I like him taking over the role for what, Flaherty, because Flaherty – I mean, he's had a solid start to this season, but I mean, he's a career less than replacement player at best. I mean, he's hot, but you can't really compare him with Bautista, especially Bautista's power potential in that lineup. And I mean, looking at what SunTrust has been able to produce from a home run standpoint, which I did not expect, but it's kind of turning into a park that bleeds home runs in some way. I think you got to get him in that lineup at some point in time. And I think it was a great low risk signing for them right now.
Yeah. I think the report came out that he had an offer for a bit more money from, I believe, the Indians. Someone else had offered him a bit more money, but he, you know, our new GM used to be the GM for the Toronto Blue Jays. And he mentioned how that relationship, you know, was what led him to choose Atlanta, even if it was less money. I think he gets $1 million if he makes it to the major league club. Outside of that, there's no incentives. There's no long-term risk with bringing him on. So I think it was a great idea to, you know, give it a chance.
100%. So
you're also got coming back. You didn't even mention the next few weeks, former ERA title holder, Anibal Sanchez, come back off the DL. That'll forget about Julio Teheran. You got that headline right there. You'll be all set.
I hope so.
Man, you just brought up a name I hadn't thought about in a long time.
Well, I think he acquitted himself pretty well to start the year, if I'm not wrong. I think he started pretty well. He had a sub-3 ERA, I think, through his first three starts.
Yeah, Sanch?
He pulled his hammy warming up, Martin Gramatica style.
I meant
Sanchez did come in, and I think he started in relief, and then he had a great start against the Cubs. And he's a guy that pitched really well for a while he was in Detroit and kind of just fell off the map. So you always think with those guys, it's kind of similar to Bautista, who had Bautista's almost 40 years old, so it's more expected. But those types of players, it's not too rare to see them have a bounce back year or two after they have that kind of drop off.
Yeah, I mean, especially you change scenery, you go over to the NL, you know, maybe something different happens. I just the only reason I said it, not that he maybe had a bad start to the season, was just, he's just not someone that, you know, he used to be a guy that you're like, oh man, he's a top pitcher candidate, you know, fantasy wise. After those couple years where he was just freaking killing it, like you said, he top ERA candidate. And now you're like, dude, I don't want that. I don't want that guy touching my fantasy squad ever. But, you know, you bring up an ex-Tiger, Matt, and we hadn't heard from you talking for a little while.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want to let you guys do that. I mean, Hector is definitely, you know, the guy to be speaking there on the Braves. I don't have much more than to bring up the majesty that is Anibal. I would have also mentioned Kurt Suzuki and all of his majesty behind the plate if you didn't give him his props, but you mentioned him nicely, so I was happy with that there. I mean, yeah, the Tigers are – this is not quite their year, you could say. Although, I mean, they could maybe win the Central because if you look at some of the standings, it's rather just like – shocking how just putrid the AL Central really is. If you don't know, the Indians are currently the only team above 500.
It's true.
There are four teams with single-digit wins. There's only two other divisions that have more than one team with single-digit wins right now. So there's just a lot of nothing going on in the AL Central. But I mean, no, they're very bad this year. We're finally in a rebuild after like you know, Clippers basketball kind of style had a lot of the big names almost there knocking on the door for a few years and couldn't get in. And then now we're just saddled by some devastating contracts. Glad we traded away that Justin Verlander because he just can't play anymore. So just a terrible choice we made. Oh, Steven Strasburg, is he the best pitcher in baseball? Glad he's just fucking gone. And just really got rid of a lot of guys that, you know, you just definitely don't need anymore. That JD Martinez, who needs him? And just a lot of guys you don't need. You know, Ian Kinsler is barely doing amazing as, you know, a plus player down there for the Angels. So who even needs all those good players when you can, you know, trot out guys like Leonis Martin and Dixon Machado and Victor Martinez still playing and Mikey Matuk. Yeah, so there's not a lot good going on. I do like Jacoby Jones a lot if we're going to talk a young guy who's, like, kind of fun, like a Jacoby Jones is pretty fun. He's probably never going to make an all-star team, but he's fun to watch if you're a bad team doing crazy stuff. And I guess last guy I mentioned, Matt Boyd, after having strong flashes in the past, has started you know, the year, strung together a few good starts here of one-run baseball with a, you know, pretty microscopic ERA to start. Not sure he's really got that going for the whole year, but you know, it's good to have some glimmers of hope every now and then during your you know, rebuilding time. So that's about all I got for the Tigers. There's not much to talk about them. They don't have much. Comerica's still a fun place taking a game. I'll enjoy for a year or two the uber cheap tickets to, you know, go in and catch a game during the day and you know, grab a brew or two with the boys.
Yeah, I was bummed when we were there for the wedding. That weekend they were playing my Yankees, and yeah. It was cold, like 30 degrees and raining. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to go sit in the stadium for that. And then the Saturday and Sunday games ended up being canceled because of weather, because it snowed.
Saturday, April in the D, man. It's this snowed is what you get
in freaking April.
Yep. That's what you get here, man. You're in the Midwest, all these, oceans, lakes around us,
Yeah, they're oceans.
Yeah. So yeah, you mentioned your Yanks, so they were in town, weren't able to play there. Pretty glad we didn't get to see them because you got some of them boys out there hitting a lot of bombs so far. Got a lot of pretty cool cats out there in pinstripes.
Yeah, man, it's been a very going back even to right this off season, November, December timeframe when all the stuff happens. You know, we get rid of Joe Girardi. I wasn't quite on board with that decision. I'm still a little bit. I'm not a hater of Aaron Boone and the decision to make him the manager, but I'm skeptical of the reasoning behind getting rid of Girardi. I thought he was a very highly proven manager, and. I didn't quite understand it, but whatever. It's fine. Boone's come out to an okay start. I think he has some definite learning to do from bullpen management. His lineup management's been interesting. He's done a lot of shifting, especially in the very early part of the season. He was shifting people all around the lineup. It took him a little while to move Stanton in the lineup during the struggles, but he's finally done that. And Stanton actually went 4-for-4 last night. One of them was a 2-run homer, which was a friggin' bomb. And he was just – he looked a lot more comfortable at the plate. What I can say, though, is watching him early this season, he looked miserable at the plate. Not only just because, like, he was doing bad, but, I mean, so many of those first games were just in frigid cold temperatures. I mean, he had the little hood thing on. He looked like he was like, what world am I living in? Where can I go back to Miami and be in the warmth?
I can vouch for him there. The coming back for winter break even, or even the spring from Miami. It is a brutal hellscape getting off that plane north of Mason-Dixon once you're used to being down there in Miami. So I don't blame him. I would have been in full parka. I do not blame the man at all.
And then, you know, the New York media sets in after you start really being bad. I mean, the Yankee fans took no time at all to start booing him as soon as he was not producing to the point where they want him to produce. I mean, keep in mind, his first game with the Yankees, he hit 2 bombs. Now, granted, it wasn't in Yankee Stadium, but he did hit those and then went on a terrible cold streak. He seems to be picking back up. We'll see if that remains to be the case. But I'm quite excited, especially as it starts to heat up. I mean, the team's been cranking out home runs. They're tied for first. Actually, the Angels haven't played yet today, I don't think. So I think they actually are in first place today because the Yankees have 2 home runs in the game so far, I believe. And one of them, is from the one and only Didi Gregorius.
Yes, it is. That's why I want to ask you, Ryan. Who is the best player in baseball right now, and why is it Didi Gregorius?
There's no other answer but Didi Gregorius. The man is a freaking beast. I mean, listen, dude. He walks 16% of the times, and he strikes out 8. I mean, his ability to basically take out the strikeout from a pitcher's arsenal when he's batting against them is unheard of right now in this day and age. And then throw on the fact that he's hitting bombs. He's got 8 home runs so far through this season. Keep in mind, all right, let's look back. Prior to 2016, which was his first year, his second year with the Yankees, his highest home run count was 9 in 2015, his first year with the Yankees. Previous to that was only 6 when he was playing in the Diamondbacks. So you can say 6 to 9, he got a little bit of a jump when he came over to New York, which is expected.
Nice.
9 to 20. And now in 2017, he hit 25. So far, he's at 8. And it's not even May. Something that was interesting that I saw, just kind of like, you know, taking a look at what he's been able to do, his hard hit percentage is through the roof right now. He's just hitting the ball very, very hard. And he's pulling the ball a lot more. I mean, granted, he's a switch hitter. So what he's doing nice right now from the plate is for when he's up at the batting lefty, I mean, the dude's straight pulling home runs over the shorter porch in right field. And then when he's batting on the right-handed side of the bat where he doesn't have as much power, he's strictly going for contact. So, I mean, the guy is just basically mastering the hitting. And like I said, or not like I said, but we have to kind of bring it back down to earth. It is a small sample size. So we'll see how it continues on. The question going into the year was where Gregorius landed in the argument of shortstops right now. I don't know if either of you guys saw, but I think it was like what MLB.com had their like top 10, and I think he was maybe 10 in top shortstops. I think if you look at the other, I guess, top shortstops in the league, the argument, what we got. So Machado, since now he's slotted back to shortstop. Carlos Correa's the league, you know, probably the best. You got Andrelton Simmons, who's in that argument. Who else is up there?
Let's put Dansby Swanson up there again now. Let's go, babe. Let's
I'm sorry. Francisco Lindor. I'm talking not performance this year, but like, you know, the top five you would imagine. And I'm trying to think what's it gonna take for Gregorius this season to basically say to people, no longer is Francisco Lindor top five shortstop. Let's put Didi Gregorius in a stop. I don't know if I could. That's something that could potentially happen. But the guy's putting on a phenomenal show this season so far.
Ready for Ryan to put him above Derek Jeter on the all-time Yankees at this point.
I can't do that. But he's on pace for over 180 RBI right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to hold as much.
I can't remember his home run earlier today. I think he has 3 RBIs today. So he's at 27 RBIs on the season so far.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in love with it. I've been talking to Ryan a little bit in this early season going, I'm a big fan of middle infielders. Didn't know I was. Just turns out I am. Like, there's been a lot of production from middle infielders, and they never get their due, and I'm here to represent for the middle infielders. I'm talking Didi Gregorius. I'm talking Jed Lowry. I'm talking all these guys bringing the power and the offense from right up the middle. And I don't know where this is going. This is really going anywhere. You don't respond to this. Just wanted to shout out a little bit of love for some middle infielders, some unsung heroes, some bats in the lineup.
Yeah, man. And then you just brought up Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he got his first RBI today.
Yeah, had a bunch of strikeouts before. That was pretty dank.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first couple game jitters, but I think he's gonna turn around. Sure. Then you look at on the not the middle infield, but then you go to the corner infield, and we have our favorite player, Miguel Andujar.
Ah.
Who is the second coming of Barry Bonds.
Yes, that's correct. We've seen it.
If you haven't seen it,
chips out there. Yep.
Maybe I can link it in the notes. There's a solid GIF of a side-by-side comparison of footage of Barry and Miguel's home run trot. Basically, their home run swings, and I tell you, they are exactly the same. So, be on the lookout. Miguel Andujar is going to be the new home run record for baseball. Just keep it.
Big Bird? Big Bird out there, too?
Is he out there? Big Birdie, he's had a tough career.
Still hurt, huh?
Still hurt. I love Greg Bird. The funny thing is, Tyler Austin is doing a phenomenal job in his place, but I still think Greg Bird is the best first baseman on the Yankees. If you go back to the playoffs, he played, I think, two more games than Tyler Austin's played this season so far in that playoff run. He had the best OPS for the Yankees by over 100 points in that playoff run. I mean, the guy can hit. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of him staying healthy at this point. We'll see.
Didn't the Yankees have a like all under 30 years old lineup just a few days ago?
Yeah.
It's funny because they used to be known as that team that would just bring in all the old dudes, overpay them and all that. And now it seems like once a month they're just calling up some 22-year-old prospect who's just ready to fill in immediately.
Yeah, and now you got Clint Frazier who's coming back from his concussion issues, so he's actually playing baseball again. In Triple A, but I think he might be in Double A right now, but he's playing. And then, you know, you have the best player in all of baseball, Aaron Judge. No, but I mean, I will say the dude is seriously improved, and which a lot of people didn't think was going to happen. They were thinking he was going to regress. I mean, his strikeout percentage has dropped from the 30% range to now 24, and he's also walking 20% of the time at the plate. I mean, he is, and I think what I saw was that he's leading the MLB in slugging and OBP on breaking ball, on any like curveball sliders, right? I mean, that was his detriment last season. So this is one of the guys, and you've seen from
and
his
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There we go. Talk about anything else with the Yankees now. We gave you, I think that was 3.5 hours on it. Anything else with the Yankees, Ryan, what do you got?
All right, so we can switch it up.
Anything else, literally anything else.
We'll go to a pitcher that Hector and I really, really like.
This is my favorite player in baseball right now.
He goes by the name, if you haven't heard of him, Patrick Corbin. He's pitching for
big, the big Petty Corpse guy over here too.
Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, this guy had a couple years back where he was a phenomenal pitcher. I was really big on him. And then he kind of floundered for a little bit, and I was like, eh. But then he had some injury issues.
Yeah, he was hurt for a while. He Tommy Johned, right? Didn't he, or no?
Yeah, I think
I believe he did.
TJ yes. back in 2014, where he missed a full year. It was 2014 when he missed a full year. 15, he came back, pitched a lot in the minors. He pitched in the minors for a little bit, and then he just kind of struggled a little bit coming back into the majors. And he's getting back there.
With control a lot, right? He had a lot of control issues coming back. He was walking too many guys.
Right, that is correct.
And then pitches are going up, right? He was very erratic.
Yeah. The thing that's very interesting looking at him this year so far, I'll make a couple comments on him and then leave it for you guys. So far, he's striking out people 39% of the time, walking at 4. So he's got a K minus walk percentage of 34%, which is freaking insane. His whip's 0.66. But the most interesting thing, and this is what I think is really leading to all of his success, is he has completely taken his changeup out of his pitching arsenal and replaced it with something that's this really filthy curveball that comes in at a probably like 70, an average high 70s percent mile per hour. And then he basically couples that with a fastball and a slider that sit around 92. I mean, that's a drastic mile per hour change. And he's seeing incredible success with it so far. And that has to be, I mean, probably the most key point to why he's seeing the success he is seeing so far this season.
Yeah, I think I was looking at his page on FanGraphs, and that was one of the things that stood out was the pitches he's throwing. Like you mentioned, he completely changed that changeup, which wasn't that great to begin with. So, you know, it makes sense that removing your worst pitch out of your repertoire and adding something else that you throw well is gonna help you improve. But
it's right there. I prove it.
It's crazy how well he's pitching. I think his slider and curveball usage is close to about almost 70%. I think it's in the high 60s. He's throwing his fastball less often as well, and I think that's one of the reasons that he's generating the strikeouts that he's putting up so far. But you know, it's insane to see, because he wasn't that big of a strikeout pitcher before the Tommy John, and his control was all right, but it wasn't anything incredible either. And now he's walking less than two guys, like you said, an inning, and he's striking out. Or sorry, 2 per 9, and he's striking out almost 13 guys per 9, and you know he looks like a completely different pitcher than before.
Yeah, and two things I think that's also interesting to look at from that standpoint is his first strike percentage is up. First pitch strike, he's throwing at that at a higher percentage than almost any other year outside of that 2013 season that he had, and also his swings percentage is up. So he's getting guys to swing and miss. And I think that kind of directly correlates to that curveball, right? That nasty break. It's getting people to just swing and miss on those out of the zone pitches that you normally don't see from him.
Yeah. I think that swing and miss is, I'm looking at his page right now from 2012 to 2017, he pretty much sat between 9% and 11% on swing and strikes. And this season it's at 18.1%.
Cannot dispute those numbers. Can you, Matt? Please try to, Matt.
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it?
I'm not going to do it.
Another pitcher that I'm very impressed with so far this year, and I'm very I dread saying that I'm impressed with, is Gerrit Cole down in Houston, who's playing with the formerly known as Justin Verlander, the Tiger great, his teammate. I mean, that guy, the Astros just have some way of bringing out the best in people. I hate to admit it, but they did a number with Verlander when he came over last year, and they've done a number with Gerrit Cole this year as they came over. I thought that his career was kind of going to plateau where he was with the Pirates. but now he's throwing the slider more, and he is just a freaking machine, a strikeout machine.
Everything's bigger in Texas, man. What can I say?
Last night he had a start. He gave up 2 runs. So this stat is no longer valid. However, prior to last night, which I thought it was wild looking at it, he had given up 3 runs. All 3 of them were solo shots. He had yet to let anyone who made it to any base score from just an RBI. It was all his runs given up were just solo home runs, which I think is pretty cool.
It is. It definitely, you know, shows like a outfit show thing. Earlier this year, it could be kind of dumb luck. But, you know, it's like you're saying, it lends to, you know, a pitcher staying aggressive, you know, versus everyone they're facing and really, you know, leaving runners stranded at a high rate and really attacking guys at all time, you know, not getting scared, seeing runners on base, which is always fun. But, yeah, you know, the Stros are – I was a little surprised. You know, I believe they were the Vegas favorites to repeat this year. I was like, oh, I thought they, you know, I don't know if they, that's like, you know, they got a little, maybe they got a little lucky last year. It was kind of, and then you're watching now, that's a pretty good ball club, top to bottom. Bats, arms, starters, relief. They got a lot cooking for them right there.
Yeah, they just have a plethora of talent. A plethora. It's interesting, though, with Cole, his ground ball percentage is down like 14% from last year. And his fly ball is up. Pretty much the equivalent percentage points. So you would think a lot of times that you would find the pitcher to do the opposite when they're giving up less runs. But for him, it's not the case. And he's actually giving up a lot more medium percentage wise of like contact. Right. So people aren't really hitting him hard. Neither are they hitting them really soft. They're just kind of hitting like really okay fly balls.
Which you can live with.
Yeah, which you can live with. But you're curious to see, like, as the year goes on, as the heat in Houston comes in, right? Because I think what's the metric? I'm pretty sure it's for every degree it's warmer, the ball travels, 2 feet more?
It's something like that.
Or that's the science behind it at the moment, right? So as the year gets hotter, and in Houston, I mean, it's friggin' hot. Will his fly balls start turning into longer fly balls? I don't know. Just something to ponder on. Question that I have for either one of you to field, you know, coming into this season, there was a big hubbub about a certain Asian baseball player, and there was all of this, you know, where's he going to go? Where's he going to play? Is he going to pitch? Is he going to hit? Should he start in the minor leagues? Should they give him time to, you know, all these question marks. But then Ohtani came in and...
Oh, you weren't talking to Eric Thames? Oh, that was last year. Sorry, you're right.
Oh, God. You're right. I should have given Thames his due.
I was thought he'd be a good left-hand reliever. Sorry, go on, though. Ohtani.
He could have been a great left-hand reliever. But anyway, Ohtani, he comes on and kind of takes the baseball world by storm. So what's your guys' thoughts on Ohtani so far and what he can bring to this sport? Either
one. Well, I mean, he can clearly bring a lot. I mean, he's dominant might be too far. He's acquitting himself quite nicely at both the dish and on the mound, which is something that, I mean, I personally wasn't a believer in him being able to do either at any level to really talk about much. Not that he could never do it. There was a whole lot of hubbub. I think he got, although to be fair, I think he got, came in, was overhyped, and then had like the anti-hype, lashback on him. Like, oh, he's not going to ever be that good. He's not good. Now he's come out and be, you know, probably somewhere in the middle between, or closer to the initial hype. I mean, he's really doing really amazing. To start with, both hitting and pitching. I think it's something really fun to watch. It's something that, you know, I personally, I think most, you know, or even more, you know, casual sports fans didn't think was something that could be possible to have a guy, you know, pitch and hit at a high level in the MLB. It just really opens things up, you know, potentially for the sport going into the future. Like, is this something we can see more of and more of And is that more exciting that, you know, seeing a lot of these guys, or is it more exciting having it being like, yeah, no, it was this guy, like it was Babe Ruth and then like this guy are like the only ones that are, you know, really doing this, like being able to do both at the same time, not that Rick Ankiel shift to outfield after he's a pitcher. But no, I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, I think it does a lot for the casual fan too, which is something baseball has struggled a bit with, is grabbing that attention. And I think he's, you know, seeing him on ESPN one day hitting a home run, and then the next day going out pitching like 7 innings and striking out 10 guys, that's going to get people talking and get people interested in him and in the sport as a whole.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that part. I'm curious to see because he saw a lot of success from him from the strikeout scenario. And I think the conversation was that people going into the year were like, okay, he could probably pitch at the MLB level right now. The question mark is his hitting, right? Is he able to, because there was people comparing him to a high school hitter. And then, you know, he comes out and he's hit, how many home runs is it now? 3 or 4?
Yeah. He's hit 3 or 4.
I mean, that's pretty awesome for this guy. I'm super, super excited to see. And you know, the fact that you make the comment about it's great for overall baseball. You know, I think you could make, I won't talk about one of the players that's great for overall baseball, but the other one that's probably one of the most great players for baseball is his teammate Mike Trout, right? I mean, probably, I think by the end of his career, will be the best baseball player to ever play the game. I don't think you could. I think you could say that maybe right now and be like, oh, maybe not. Let's see how it goes. But like, there's also part of it you could say, yeah, that's honestly something that could happen right now. What was that WAR? That WAR stat that we were looking at yesterday when we were talking, Hector?
Yeah, I think on Fangraph's list of all-time career WAR rankings, currently he is in. I think he's 130th all time in baseball, and I believe if you go by his steam or rest of season projection, he's projected to finish around 93rd all time in baseball by the end of the season. So, you know, he's going to be 27 at the end of the season. I think you're spot on with saying he could go down as the best baseball player of all time. You know, things like injuries and all that could happen, but what's the fun in taking that into account when you can dream about seeing this kind of production for another 5-6 years? And then Trout, with the adjustments that he makes, seems like the kind of guy who, maybe when his speed and his defense kind of decline a little bit, that guy could keep hitting till he's like 40 years old.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, there's a, you know, there's a great, I read it yesterday, I think it was, if you go on Fangraphs, maybe it was on there. There's an article on him that someone wrote. I think it might have been, I can't think of who it was off the top of my head, but anyway, if you go check it out, it's probably one of the more recent articles out there. And it kind of breaks down Trout's approach as his career's gone on, right? And the overarching theme is the fact that from the plate discipline, as he's gotten older, I mean, he's just gotten better and better at hitting the ball when it's in the zone and not hitting the ball when it's not in the zone. Like, he's just increasingly better at laying off pitches that he should lay off and hitting pitches that he should, right? I mean, that's what he's just like. He's a microcosm of the perfect baseball player, in my opinion. And then, you know, you bring up the injury. Yeah, he got hurt last year and was still, I mean, he missed a chunk of games and he was still in the conversation for MVP.
Right.
So it's almost like, unless it's like some, you know, knock on wood, huge injury that sets him back for years or more, the guy just is unstoppable.
Yeah, I think he – wasn't the injury last year a freak thing? Wasn't it sliding into a base or something?
Yeah, it was. Was it his shoulder?
I don't remember. It was either his shoulder or something in his hand, but
– Yeah, it was his hand. It was his hand.
Those types of injuries, I don't worry that much about. I mean, it was a freak thing. He doesn't have a history of having any kind of like muscle or ligament injuries. So, you know, that type of stuff, you can kind of be more concerned that it'll be nagging and all that over the course of his career. But, you know, he seems like he's just a freak of nature so far, you know, almost LeBron-esque if you want to compare him to someone else that that has that just been a machine year to year. Yeah, so I just don't see how he's going to slow down from now.
I don't either. And the Angels are set up pretty solid with those two guys. Now, granted, their minor league system isn't the greatest, but hey, I mean, when you got those guys at the top, they're looking good so far. Let's see. I mean, I'm curious to see how they – I mean, they've got the Astros above them, so how that pans out for them in their division, we'll see. But, I mean, they're definitely a high wild card contender, if not in potential conversation for AL West spot.
Maybe they can get Trout to pitch a few games for them as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. But wait, okay, hold on. No, Cueto's with the Giants, right?
He's in San Francisco.
Okay, what is going on with Johnny Cueto, man? The dude's back.
I don't know. I had written him off. I thought his career was over. Or not over, but I couldn't see anything more than like a 4-4.5 ERA going forward. But
the dude's insane. What's it? He's like, what, the lowest ERA in baseball right now, I think.
I'm going to look it up real quick because – I guess I will be the first to admit that I 0.35 ERA.
That's absurd. Absurd.
I will gladly admit that I was wrong. I just did not see that happening.
I love Johnny Cueto too, so it's like good for him. I mean, it's one glimmer of niceness for those poor San Francisco Giants who went out of their way to trade for Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen. Oh, by the way, did you see Andrew McCutchen last night drop that fly ball from Bryce Harper?
Not fly ball, headline, it was a line drive. I saw the headline, but I did not watch the
video. Okay, you got to go watch the video. It's great. It's a routine line drive. That's okay, granted, it's hit hard, so it's probably cutting a little bit away from him. But, I mean, it just bounces right out of his glove.
Not what you want.
No, not at all. I mean, I could sit here and talk about baseball players all day. I'm not going to lie. It's great. But I'm sure you guys would get bored of – and when I say you guys, I mean probably the listeners. Me and Hector could probably sit here and chat. Matt, I don't know if you could sit here and talk for another day on baseball or not. Probably not, right?
I don't know if I got a day in me. I could do a little more, but yeah, I think it's time to
come play some Fortnite.
Some Fortnite. Now, I've heard Matt is an excellent Fortnite player.
Yeah, I've played like one day. I played. It's. I'm real bad at shooters. I'm real bad at them. First person, third person, tactical. You know, normal, all of it. Real bad. Real bad at all of them. So, it's fun to play. Love the idea in theory. I definitely see why it's so addicting. You know, it's like a. Just that King of the Hill type game is just like it's just like at your like core of what you want to try to do gaming or just like in life. It just sounds so fun. I can't do it well, but I definitely get the appeal and wish I could be a part of it, but I can't. It's basically like sports for my entire life also.
Dude, you were like a star cornerback in high school, man.
Oh no, I think that is my coaches would beg to differ. Dropped a school record probably for most dropped picks or batted down balls that should have been picked in a season.
Oh, so you're the guy that they made the saying that's why he plays defense.
Yeah, yeah, that's why Kirk Herbstreit yells that on NCAA Football 14 now whenever you go back to play it every time you play it and a DB drops a ball. That's why they say it was because of me.
Oh my god, it all makes sense now. Yeah. Well, then go practice your Fortnite.
I should. I'll try to get on the next time Ninja gets out there to, you know, do his ninja stuff. I keep up with the role of ice. You know, didn't Ninja set that record recently, I guess, you know, for all those people coming in to watch. I didn't watch, but I watched reports after of other people watching. You know, get real third, fourth person meta on it with my Fortnite interaction. Mainly just watch those Snapchat stories on IGN. That's how I stay connected in the zone.
So you watch, like, the reaction videos of people watching him play with Drake.
I mean, I'm not that deep in it yet. I mean, it's literally like at work when I'm like bored and put that you swipe to the right on Snapchat, you know, and you got those stories, all that jazz. That's about it. But this content's getting pretty bad. I think it's about time to wrap it up here. Thanks for stopping by, Hector. Spoiling us with a little bit of your knowledge and knowledge and grace here on baseball.
Thank you for having me. It was great to to come on and talk positively about the Braves for a change.
Oh, yeah. Let's hope the next time we do this, we can keep that same theme. My parting words to you two, I don't know if you're caught up or not, Hector, but if you aren't, catch up. And Matt, please go watch Westworld.
Yep, first episode was
phenomenal. And anyone else listening who's not watching it, wake up, get on it, do yourself a favor. With that, thank you for checking into this episode of Triple Take. I greatly appreciate it. Let us know if you liked it or not. If you hated it, don't let us know. Screw you.
Yep.
Yeah. Peace out, guys.
Two fingers.